It's 7:44. I'm Teresa Wills. On this West Virginia morning, marijuana legislation, residents worried about plastic pollution, we celebrate some young artists, and we hear a debate about whether the state needs a new tier in the court system.
Not one company in southern West Virginia came back to me and felt we needed this. If I felt like we needed this, I would most assuredly vote for it.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Bills dealing with marijuana use are budding in the West Virginia House of Delegates, according to its Democratic members. Emily Allen has more.
The newest cannabis bill announced Wednesday comes from Delegate Sammy Brown out of the Northeastern Panhandle.
The bill, the Green Light Act, it permits personal use for individuals that are 21 years of age and older. It will normalize the regulation of cannabis use, and it will provide transitional services to former cannabis offenders.
Another bill in the House from Delegate Mick Bates out of Southern West Virginia would similarly decriminalize, regulate, and tax cannabis for adult use. His bill already has been introduced, but it's still in the Health and Human Resources Committee, the first of three committee references.
This bill is actually what West Virginia needs right now to put West Virginians first and bring people back to our state and make a place that people want to move to.
Another bill would allow for the medical sale of marijuana flowers, something Pennsylvania began permitting a few years ago. A fourth bill would expand on the types of medical conditions treatable by medical marijuana in West Virginia. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Emily Allen.
A ceremony was held at the state capitol this week to announce the winners of this year's Almost Heaven Governor's Art Exhibition. Roxy Todd reports the art contest winners include K-12 students from across the state.
The contest is designed to showcase student creativity in the arts, according to a press release from the governor's office. This year, the contest invited students to submit postcard designs that feature a seasonal scene in West Virginia. Selected pieces will be used by the West Virginia Tourism Office. 189 pieces of art from 24 schools were selected to be in the exhibit. Some of the winners include elementary students Carson Johnson for his piece entitled Fall at the Gorge, and Lillian Cron for her artwork Autumn in Blackwater Canyon. Student winners were awarded a gift card to be used to purchase art supplies. The artwork will be on display at the Capitol Complex until August of this year. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd in Charleston.
Some people who live near the Ohio River in the Upper Ohio Valley are concerned about a new petrochemical plant in the region. They met with the Ohio Governor's Office and the Ohio Environmental Protection Agency Wednesday. The Allegheny Front's Julie Grant reports that the group wants to see more research before the plant can be built.
The proposed PTT Global Chemical Plant will use ethane, now abundant because of the region's natural gas, to make tiny plastic pellets used in manufacturing. A group called Concerned Ohio River Residents wants the state to withdraw its water permit for the facility.
That permit was issued without testing for current levels of toxics in the Ohio River.
That's Cheryl Johncox of the Sierra Club, who notes that the river is a drinking water source for millions of people. She also doesn't want Ohio to find plastic pellets called nurdles in the environment, as they have near similar plants in Texas and Louisiana.
I am talking about nurdles, and then I'm talking about small shavings that would come off during the process of them making nurdles. Those all can be discharged into our waterways.
In a statement, the Ohio EPA says it used water quality monitoring data as part of the permitting process. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Julie Grant.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:48. Mostly cloudy skies today. There's a chance of rain or light snow with highs in the 30s and low 40s. Mostly cloudy skies tonight with lows in the 20s and 30s. Tomorrow, there's a chance of rain with highs in the 40s and low 50s. Support for WVPB is provided by Dutch Miller Subaru in Charleston. Dutch Miller Automotive is proud to be dedicated to multiple community service initiatives and local charities. More about our team and the Subaru Love Promise at DutchMillerSubaru.com.
Thank you.
On last night's episode of The Legislature Today, senior reporter Dave Mistich led a discussion on an issue that has state senators divided. Senate Bill 275 would create an intermediate court of appeals. As the bill stands now, it would create the new court with 2 3-judge panels. Those judges would serve 10-year terms, and the panels would be split between 2 districts. The intermediate court would only handle appeals from civil cases, family court, guardianship, and workers' compensation divisions. Dave Mistich spoke with Danielle Waltz of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and Jonathan Manny, president-elect of the West Virginia Association for Justice. Here's an excerpt from the interview taped live at the Capitol.
I want to start by giving you both an opportunity to give me the elevator pitch for and against this bill. Danielle Waltz, will start with the perspective of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Thank you for having me. And certainly I think that this is a place where West Virginia, you know, once again is outside the norm. We were one of only 9 states that doesn't have an intermediate court. And we are the largest population that doesn't have one by 500,000. And when you look at the important and critical reasons to have an intermediate court here in West Virginia, it would be to modernize and make our court system more efficient. It would be to allow parties to have a full and fair opportunity to be heard, and certainly the last one, to make West Virginia a more attractive place for businesses.
Sure. And Jonathan Manny, your pitch for opposing this bill.
Sure. There's multiple reasons why intermediate court is a bad idea, the first of which is budgetary issues. Our state is strapped for cash right now. We're stripping our ability to care for our seniors. There are senior services that are not being provided. There are roads with potholes. I was just driving up to Snowshoe last weekend and the interstate collapsed. They had to shut down around Weston because we're not able to maintain our roads. And then if you look at the foster care situation with the opiate crisis, these are all things that should be funded over building another layer of bureaucracy and adding high-paying jobs for, really, for lawyers. Actually, in the end of the day, $130,000 a year jobs that are being provided solely for lawyers.
Based on the fiscal notes that came out of Senate Judiciary, and the way I understand it would be about $4 million a year. I want to go ahead and point that out. So.
Correct.
And there was a healthy debate on this bill in committee. I want to talk a little bit about some of the amendments that were offered. One came from Senator John Pitzenbarger, of a Republican from Nicholas County, would call for these judges to be elected. I take it, John, that since you're opposed to this bill on principle, that this amendment doesn't really sweeten anything for you at all.
Not really. Again, it's an unnecessary cost and it's an unnecessary burden. The court system does not need it. If you look at the filings in the Supreme Court, The actual appeals that are being heard are down like 60%. Where is the need for another layer of courts? The court doesn't need it. There isn't some sort of a backlog.
Right. And so, Danielle, do you want to respond to this idea, this amendment, now that judges would be elected under the current version of the bill?
Certainly, I think for those that look at these issues, you can make arguments for the appointment and election of judges, and both systems have pros and cons. I think from this standpoint, you know, allowing the people to, you know, speak on this particular issue, I don't think that's a bad thing. With respect to the backlog, you know, looking at this bill in a vacuum and talking about the Supreme Court's caseload doesn't take a look at the spectrum of all of the different jurisdictional issues the bill addresses. And by taking, you know, administrative procedures out of Kanawha County, where there's a big backlog on that, by removing the family court appeals from the circuit judges, who have a big backlog related to a lot of the issues that are in front of them, and allowing them to give more attention to the issues in front of them and moving that to the intermediate appellate court, there are a lot of aspects of this bill that go well beyond just the Supreme Court's caseload, but also, you know, leveling out jurisdiction numerous courts around the state.
Also in committee Monday, Senator Paul Hardesty, he's a Democrat from Logan County, he spoke against the bill. We'll take a quick listen to his comments and come back to discuss how that plays into the arguments over this intermediate courts.
I have tried to be objective about this bill last year and this year. I went back in my district, which is the 5 southwestern counties in the state, and I had a survey conducted by our local Chamber of Commerce, and I had them poll members of my community that employ 5, 10, 25, 50 individuals, up to 100. I said, tell me if you think you need this. Not one company in southern West Virginia came back to me and felt we needed this. If honestly, if I felt like we needed this, I would most assuredly vote for it. But they all came back to me with the same answer. They weren't against the concept. They were against the need.
Danielle, with you representing the U.S. Chamber and the comments there from Senator Hardesty, I'm curious what your reaction to all that is.
Certainly, and I was president of the committee when he addressed it and addressed it then. One, I'm not sure who all he spoke with. I don't know whether he spoke with every company in Southern West Virginia or not. I do know that we have seen local voices, as I mentioned, with the Business Industry Council, who are going to be in support of the bill. I'd also say that, you know, West Virginia has a lot of different issues that are in front of it. And I know Mr. Manning mentioned, you know, potholes and opioids and all of these things, and no one is suggesting that this court is going to fix all of our state's problems. The suggestion is that this court is a part of the solution to the problem, and with West Virginia being in the position that it's in, an all hands on deck approach is necessary.
Mr. Manning, any response to all that?
Yes, the issue is the resources that the intermediate court will draw away from the state that could be repurposed for necessary senior care, for abuse and neglect children, foster care. Ms. Waltz talked about the issues with the Kanawha County Circuit Court and the abuse and neglect issues that are going on in circuit courts. These are issues that should be going before the intermediate court, not all the way up to the Supreme Court. How come items that are only 13% of Supreme Court filings are going to be thrown into the intermediate court when criminal and abuse and neglect that makes up the vast majority of cases will not have the benefit of going through the intermediate court?
If criminal cases and all these other types of litigation and cases would make their way into the bill, that you guys would be amenable to it?
No, because it ultimately comes down to a resource-driven matter, and it is totally unnecessary. The intermediate court is absolutely unnecessary. It costs too much in a state that has very little money right now.
I have to mention the intermediate court system in North Dakota, a state with a population of less than half of West Virginia's. I understand that they are, you know, they haven't heard a case since 2007 after hearing 37 cases in 33 years. It sounds to me that that's a similar point that you'd like to make here, is the possibility of that happening in West Virginia.
Well, I would hate to draw any kind of an analogy to North Dakota, because I don't know what their structure looks like. But my point goes directly to the issue of it is absolutely unnecessary here. If our Supreme Court was clogged down with appeals, that'd be one thing. But the simple fact of the matter is it's not. The items that are drawing away from our court system, our circuit court system, are issues that aren't even going to be able to avail themselves to intermediate court.
Right. You want to talk a little bit about what's happened in North Dakota as an argument? You know,
I would say that model is significantly different than the model that's proposed here in West Virginia. It's a deflection model. And one of the things that was prevalent during the presentation that was made in front of the committee is I think there's about 1,100 cases that are in front of the Supreme Court right now. And you would see about 400 of those cases that under the current model that wouldn't go directly to the Supreme Court but would go to the intermediate court. But then the intermediate court would also have the increased load of the cases that I've discussed when you're talking about diverting some of the items from Kanawha County Circuit Court and the circuit courts around the state directly to the intermediate court, then allowing circuit judges to spend their attention on the things that are the most important when we're talking about these abuse neglect situations and whatnot. And additionally, allowing the Supreme Court, when those cases get up to them, because those will go directly then, to be able to spend time and attention on those critical and important cases that are affecting West Virginia the most.
That was Danielle Waltz of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and Jonathan Manny, President-elect of the West Virginia Association for Justice, speaking with senior reporter Dave Mistich on the legislature today. Senate Bill 275 is currently awaiting consideration in the Senate Finance Committee. To hear this full interview, visit our website at wvpublic.org. Tune in each evening at 6 p.m. on TV, radio, or online, or at 7 p.m. on the West Virginia Channel to keep up with our legislative coverage in detail. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our news director and producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.